I think in Africa as a whole, the prime cause of the loss or the decline of soil fertility has been soil erosion. And if we're going to arrest that and hopefully reverse it, what we need to do is to start practicing conservation agriculture and really promote it. Conservation agriculture being firstly to reduce or and hopefully eliminate soil disturbance, particularly by things like the rotavator, the moldboard plough, and the hand hoe. Secondly, ensuring that soils are covered at all times.
But if you use conservation farming and low or no tillage systems, okay, I understand that the soil remains in place, you're not losing it to wind erosion, but you're still surely harvesting and removing nutrients in your harvested crop, which you're not able to replace without the use of fertilizers.
That's certainly the case, and you have to have a complementary system in which you incorporate both inorganic fertilizers, but also the organic fertilizers that are available, like the animal manures that are available, but also crop residues and other organic residues from other sources like compost and so on.
Give me some examples from your experience where you've seen conservation farming really working well and bringing good returns to the farmers that are using them.
We've had a major trend towards conservation agriculture in South Africa in recent years. It's been a commercial farmer's practice for a number of years, and there's some extremely successful commercial farmers.
Growing what?
Growing maize, soyas, and wheat. Basically those three crops, but there are also people now growing sunflower, cotton, and really we maintain that you can grow any crop under conservation agriculture. Conservation agriculture doesn't necessarily increase one's yields, but what it does do is it reduces and conserves resources, both natural resources like soil, as we've said, but also water, because you reduce the runoff and also you increase the water holding capacity of the soil, but also of human resources, particularly money. And the one example that comes to mind is one farmer who boasts that the youngest tractor on his farm is 18 years old because it has to do so little work. We have another farmer who plants 6,000 hectares of sunflowers, and his boast is that he puts more diesel in his runabouts than he does in his tractors. Okay, so there are many different ways. But also as far as the costs are concerned, because it's considerably cheaper, particularly with the escalation in fuel costs, but also of mechanization costs, it's much cheaper to practice conservation agriculture than it is to use conventional agriculture.
And overall labour, how does conservation farming help or hinder with the labour requirement on farm?
Okay, it reduces the labour requirements considerably, both as far as time is concerned, but also as far as effort is concerned. And in sub-Saharan Africa, this is a real factor with the influx of HIV/AIDS, and the many people very weak. Often the households reduced in numbers, and the conventional household often comprises very young people and very old people, and it's the very old people who are having to do the farming. They haven't got the effort. Also the amount of time, because there's far less to do in conservation agriculture.
Is conservation farming as beset by rules, recommendations, as farming where fertilizers are required? Is conservation farming difficult?
No, to me it's fascinating, and I think to the farmers it's fascinating as well, because all of a sudden they have the opportunity, and they have to observe what is happening on their farms and make decisions for what is happening there and then. Our big failing, I think, in years past has been that we, the advisors, the scientists, the researchers, have been trying to make those decisions for the farmers. And there's no ways that we can understand all the elements that contribute to the situation that the farmer is in. And really what we need to be doing is providing farmers with the information on which they can base their own decisions, but the farmer must make the decision. And that's a characteristic, I think, of conservation farmers. It's empowered farmers, farmers who do things for themselves and depend on others for sources of information, but not decisions.